Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Shalom, peace, Hotep, all them good words. Brother Duarte, everybody's on. Brother Kareem, Brother Mahara, everybody's on.
This is Mahir, I'm on.
I'm on.
All right. Okay. Cole and Mahara.
Yeah.
Let me talk for a few seconds because it's been a whole lot of. Me and you done talked about this, Cole. It's been a whole lot of coincidence in our lives that we couldn't, that at that moment we didn't know what was going on. And when I got to, I had got this thought in my mind when I was doing some deep thinking this week, and I called you and first about it, and then I call you, and I ask the question, is your education in America education, or is it a system to indoctrinate you? And Cole Keen and I don't thank Brother Mahar, but I know definitely for a fact, man, Cole Keen had to start school at 6 years old. Now they start school from 3 years old to 15 years old to 18 years old. That means for 15 years, they have indoctrinated you into the belief system of government, belief system of how to be an American. Now, the word indoctrination means, you have to look up that word, Brother Mahal, will you look that word up for me?
Of indoctrination?
Yeah, see, you have to understand, what do this word mean? It's so we're going to let you, what Cohen and I is trying to make seals out of you where you can see, we and Brother Mahal and Brother Drew, where you can see this stuff right now that's right here in front of us, you are able to see this by using counterintelligence. Counterintelligence.
I just pulled up the definition.
Okay, well, tell me what the definition is.
It says the process of teaching a person or group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically. Yeah, meaning you don't question it. You don't judge it.
Right.
It says methods that were approved for indoctrination, and they give me an example, methods that were approved for indoctrination in divinity.
Right. And see, that's what has happened to, we can see that right now. This is what has happened to you in 2022. You don't question your religion that was given to you in 1870. You don't question a goddamn thing that a white man done give to you. So,
right.
In other words, your belief is to make you a black face with a white mind to the standing point that you call yourself a black African American since 1970, who was a black Gentile. If you're in the church, you call yourself a black Gentile. That means you've been totally genocided when you believe this tower. Now, let's look at something, because we noticed that the fourth generation, which 4 down 12 ain't for 48 years. After 48 years of any race of people being over here in America since 1970, since the boat people came over here, we got documentation that they children, the children that was born right now after 1970, 1980, year 2000, they can't speak their language, but their grandma speaks it. So you can see how the school system totally genocides you. This is why I got a book that Big Mama had about the education system in America, wrote by Israel Ben Abraham in 1865, while the Jews they came to know American schools, why you shouldn't print. And he wrote in that book why you shouldn't sin. So we can totally see in 2022 by using counterintelligence of how we have been genocided. So I
right.
want everybody to do this. I want everybody to do the study. I want you to write down. I want you to Google what is the first black school in America. And this is where this coincidence come in, Brother Mahal and Brother Cohen, is because the first black school in America was in St. Helens Island in South Carolina in 1890. Now, they didn't establish no school for us to learn something else here. You emancipated slaves in 1870, but they didn't give you a school until 1890. Hell, they waited 20 years of you being a sharecropper roaming around. So that you got any kind of education in the ways of a white man. And here's what's so killing about it. St. Helena Island, South Carolina, is where all of my wife's people are from. And that's, we would go out there every year for that. I didn't even know what the hell was going on, but that was a celebration. I didn't know nothing about this history that I'm learning right now, that they had up there, they were Geechee. They spoke Gula, which is Creole. They called it Creole. They, all of my wife, there's ex-wife that lived with my son, they speak this language. Aunt Vassie, her auntie, told me all about Uncle Cleve, and her daddy was from Desmond Swamp. That's another area, just like they got a documentary on the fire stick of Obigawa, a place over there in Brazil where the slave towns was at, that we don't know the history. Now, this first school, this is where the first school was. And then this school was for the Gula people and Geechee people that lived in St. Helens. It wasn't for the people that were still out here. We still didn't have a school system out here. Now, when you trace the history, when you trace the history of the first school system in America, was April 23rd, 1635, was called the Boston Latin School, and was for boys only that was Puritans. See, the Puritans was killing the Quakers. They wouldn't let the Quakers go to this school. And it was for boys only. Now, that's the first school. And it's still here. It's still here. They ain't gone nowhere. This book. And it was a Latin school. Latin is a dead language. I want you to talk about that too, Brother. See, Latin is a dead language. Also, the language of Yah is a dead language, but it's still around. And Latin is only spoken one place right now, and that's Vatican City. They speak Latin now, where the Pope is, where the Promos Maxima is, not the Pope, but the Promos Maxima. Let's get his title right, because when we say Pope, that ain't his title. His title is Promos Maxima. When it becomes Promos Maxima, it becomes history. It becomes knowledge. When it becomes Promos Maximum. And
right.
Then if you understand that, if the Christians understood that, then they would understand that where Christianity came from. It ain't nothing but Mithraism. And that's the old gods that you worship, that you was given in 1870. You was given religion. You was given this religion. But
right.
This is something that, this is a study that is an awesome study, because we know for a fact that if you don't train your child at home and don't put him in that school system, he is lost. He's going to become an American. He's going to become a black African American. He's totally white, meaning that he has been totally genocized. A nation of people that came over here 467 years ago in 1555, which was Mennonites that came over here, the children of Mendon, which was the children of Abraham and Keturah. Those children came over here with on a boat called Jesus of Lethal and John the Baptist. And got scattered over here, and they mixed their seeds with the indigenous people over here. And you don't know what tribe they come from now, because you run around hollering, you a Hebrew Israelite, and you was a black Jew. Now, you don't know none, a damn thing, because all that shit been mixed out at the burning of Alexander. When he burned, you don't know, even the Jews that's over there in Palestine and Israel, they don't know where their bloodline is. Don't nobody
right.
know nothing about the bloodline right now as we speak. As we speak. The only reason we know our bloodline, we had our ancestors, ain't been that long dead. that I know that I'm a grandpa was a Creek, Big Mama was a Cherokee. That's something that, and we weren't no goddamn Indians. An Indian is a citizen of India, not over here. A white boy was lost when he renamed us Negroes, colored people, and all that bullshit. You see, this is why you have to sit down with your children, and your mind got to get into a right understanding. Once you can come out of this, they got to sit up where you become a nation within a nation. But you first got to have the goddamn mind to do that, because once you say that I'm an American, that means that you believe everything that America believes in. When that new world
right.
order comes down, it turns into a country. And if you can be your own country in the new world order and deal with the new world order by selling them commerce, that's what
yeah.
you can do. You see, you can have your own nation sitting over here. I give you an example. We say this is the Nation of Islam sitting over here. When the New World Order come in, the new constitution, they take the states away and everything be a country. Whatever country you live in, what you believe, is that's who you are. We sitting over here, we farming, we selling food to the other countries. And you part of the New World Order, which be Zionism, the government. That's what the Zionists want your black ass to realize before the next 6 years come, because the government will be falling. They just tell us that in protocol. And they gave us protocol for us to be able to see what they was doing. They told us in protocol to speak it. Don't worry about nothing, go on, speak it. Tell it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing, enlightening certain people. And I called in at 15 minutes till and the line was full. I say, well, I guess we getting them people want to hear what we have to say. What we have to say is what you can see. We're making seals out of you, because everything that Cohen and Mahal and I tell you, you can see it. It's happening now as we speak.
Right.
We can open up your eyes. So I turn you back. I've given you enough to work with. So I turn you in the hands of Cohen and Mahal.
You up next, Co?
We lose Co?
Not that I'm aware of.
Go ahead on, bro, Maya. He might be doing something.
Did you call me from the one? Oh, sorry. Did you call me?
Did we lose Co? Oh, Co is there. You up next, Co?
Go ahead on, Brother Mahal, to Co get up.
Okay. First of all, greetings to the listening audience. And I just want to say that, as usual, you opened up and you stated much. The more we do this, these shows, the more information we are able to bring out, because, you know, we only have but so much time on these programs, on this platform, which is good. And trying to keep it at a level where people are able to understand the minor and the majors, and then whatever falls in between falls in between. You mentioned something about a few things, actually. And you picked indoctrination. Indoctrination has synonyms. That means words that can convey the same understanding or meaning without repeating the actual word. In this case, we said doctrination. We said what doctrination meant. But other words that are related to that word would be words like disciple, discipline. And it's just worth, and I'm not going to go through all of them, because according to the thesaurus, there's about 18 words that you find yourself that are related to that word: persuasion, brainwashing, instruction, and training. Those are the top right there. And we know that these words are used interchangeably when we hear topics being discussed. And so if people are not up on how this English language is structured, we make the mistake of overlooking and underestimating what's really happening and what has already happened. So let's go back and look at history just for a brief moment. You mentioned how Latin is a dead language. As far as spoken form is concerned, yes, most definitely. However, they're using it and not as spoken in spoken form, but they're using it to convey concepts and ideas. This is what they're doing with it. And everywhere you look around, the names of the plants, the trees, animals, you notice I used to, when I was growing up, I was wondering why were all of these things labeled with Latin names. Here's a little piece of history that it seems is out of the ordinary. I was watching a brother today, and he was going into Daniel 11, and he was breaking down some things, and he was talking about, you know, he showed the differences between what Christianity has brought people, and you know, some shows speaking of that in the so-called New Testament, it is not time for a new testimony, and we know that in Jeremiah, okay? And so the same words, if you're not dealing in these languages, these same words, Berit Chadashah, which is not the definite, it's not using the ha in front of it. It is simply saying, and in that day, when certain events take place and the people are gathered together again, then there will be a new testimony, not a new covenant, a new testimony. That means we're doing something prior to that happening. Our understanding is fixed. Our ability to choose and pick what shall be going forward, all of those things are going to fall into place. And for the most part, having a thorough history of the events that matter, that are important, okay, we do not expect to find ourselves in the same situations and traps that we're currently reasoning our way out of now. That's the whole deal where they're trying to stop this. They're trying to stop us from doing that. But the New Testament folks, and notice they used a definite article, the T-H-E, well, they wrote this same stuff in Hebrew to try to put a spin on the New Testament. Now, you wonder where I'm going with this? I'll tell you in a second. So when you look at how they labeled it, remember Jeremiah, Berit Chadashah, okay? These folks, Brother Dawadia, labeled theirs with a definite article in Hebrew, Ha-Barit Ha-Chadashah. Now, when your mind sees that, your brain sees that, your brain is supposed to shut out anything less than how that is stated. So you're not interested in a new testimony. These folks are telling you, we've given you the new testimony. So now they fix you in a situation. This gives them ample time to shift things around, which they have done. And you know, Cole, he was always talking about in class, whenever he had the opportunity to speak on this, about plagiarism, where they take something from one side, keep some things familiar, and most people, and they're able to do this because most people don't read anyway, not really. Use similar sounding or connected events or things and put a whole nother type of spin on it. Now, most folks don't realize what is the major difference in how they've indoctrinated us versus how the original Tanakh actually talks. The original Tanakh talks about a restoration of a people, certain things such as the temple being rebuilt, boundaries being reset, promises that were made, being kept and given back to people. So it's a full restoration. When you get to the New Testament, there is no new temple being built. There is no mentioning of sacrifices because they taught you that this guy, JC, is the guy who's the ultimate sacrifice. And they rearranged the order of tribes and made one disappear by simply using the pen to do so. And they have backups for what they did this. So how they did this. So now you have the religion of Islam comes along, and you got the promises of things being set. However, where is the restoration of the original artifact of a place? And they will tell you in chapter 17 that the people will be gathered from the place of the other people where they have become commingled. But after that, there's nothing else being talked about along the lines of how Ezekiel and other books lay it out. It's just not mentioned, which tells you whoever did this with the Arabic writings was definitely in collusion with that Catholic Church again. Then they weren't so much called Catholic Church, Byzantine Empire. Now, let's come up to this part. You was talking about who was called an Indian. You was talking about the Geechee, the Gullah, and a host of other folks. Here's something, Brother Dawadi, I came across as very interesting, and I have been discussing it with some other people that I know. Up until about 1846 or so, the flags that are on the North African shores, Morocco, Mauritania, Algeria, Libya, Tunisia, and of course clear up to Turkey. Those same flags, and the question to ask is, why were those same flags here? And who were those people who brought that here? So we know what indoctrination has done to us and has totally just obliterated what the actual facts were. And I'm not here to judge good or bad with regard to why the flags were here. I'm here to talk about some untalked about facts that went down. So it is now shown that many of us so-called Cherokees was using the flag that they use today in Algeria. But the question is, who are those Cherokees that we're talking about? Berbers. And Berber is also known as what? Barbarians. Barbarians were also known as synonymous with Africans. Not black Africans. Not the ones in color. The whites. Or the pale or the pink people. And there are songs throughout since I've been living, and I can't think of the lyrics of one of them right off the top of my head, but they're talking about Bayberry. That's one word to say it. And there are people here with that last name, Bayberry. I've met one here in Texas. She don't look like us. She's not from overseas, but she has that name. And I said, okay, that's another way to say barber. And then you have the English form, Barbary. There are Barbaries here. I mean, in the country. So they said, how can we continue to allow the story to be sold about us being the Africans who were enslaved? When you go back and read the actual documentation, conversations, review the battles that was taking place here, those people were Berbers here on these soils. No, they're not the Geechee and they're not the Gullah. So within the Cherokees, we have clans. The seven clans mentioned has nothing to do with Berbers. Okay? They have nothing to do with that. So we would be referred to as Kwala, which is not the word Cherokee, or Ani Awiya. That's old, ancient, as you say, the language or what was used by Yah to give communications to us is the old tongue, which got replaced in 1881, and the character set was replaced. So now we have Slavic, Slovenian, and other type of words and what they're calling Cherokee today. And, of course, right along with that, they've changed definitions of things. So we're talking about many peoples working together to make this thing happen. So did something happen to us? Most definitely. But the labels that are being used are out of order. You guys were the slaves and descendants of the Africans. No, we're not. We're not the Barbary people. We're not barbarians. And how do you know that? Well, we look at the flags. And up into 1846, we've got these flags that are clearly over there, unaltered, being used in the North African shores, that once upon a time, they were here. Those flags. We don't have these flags now. Go ahead, Brother Tawadi.
If we go and look in the dictionary and we look up the word barbarian, heathen, pagan, it will say Germanic race of people. It will not say a Semitic race, a Hamitic race of people. It will clearly tell you that it was them, and they labeled us, gave us their name, what they were. That's
correct.
What they indoctrinated us, that we was the barbarian heathens and pagans, and it was them. But they put it in their etymology language book that a barbarian heathen and a pagan was a Germanic race of people. But he never thanked a nigga like me to read those things. He put that in there. He put the truth in his definition and make you believe something else. You see how your ass been indoctrinated? We're going to show you how you've been indoctrinated. Go ahead on.
Right. And mind you, we're not even discussing religion. We're not even talking about none of that sort of stuff. We're talking about people who've been displaced. And also we can't leave out in the history in this country, while we were being who were established, were here, regardless of where in the world our ancestors came from prior to their arrival. We were here. So the folks who are today referring to, and now quite a few of the so-called long-haired, stringy-haired people referring to themselves as once American Indian, now just call themselves Native Americans. Notice the shift in words. Okay, because according to Noah Webster's dictionary, a Native American is different from an American Indian. They're not the same. So anyone born on this soil, and in a generation, in the second generation, it's referred to as Native. People don't know that. So
yeah,
I can't find a hat in the VA that says American Indian veteran. No, I have a hat that says Native Veteran Army. Those are the kind of hats I have, because they don't sell a hat that says American Indian veteran. They won't do that.
And America ain't, but this place was named America 243 years ago. What is the original name of this place? I got one hell of people thinking that this is America. It's only been here 244 years. The first goddamn American was John Hancock, who was the grand poutonnet, large number one. He had the flag because he was...
Exactly. Exactly. Now, here's the thing.
You
know as well as I do, this is not the only part of this northern hemisphere called America. You have what? Central America, and you also have South America. They named the whole damn hemisphere that. And that allowed them to shift things around, which they did. And they brought in other peoples, which I was going to get to, the child trains. The child trains, while we were being pushed out of our established, well-organized, beautifully laid out cities built by people who knew what they were doing. We're not talking about no huts. We're not talking about no teepees. That's not us. We didn't live in that. It said in Cherokee, and you'll appreciate this, so one word, one expression we say is ani awiya. The next expression is ani gitawagi. Gitawagi means we are civilized. We live in a civilized, well-built, we have, and you know this from history, and it probably was shared with you, Brother Duadia, log cabin homes, cobblestone streets. Somebody living in a teepee is not going to construct that. That's a different culture, different software, different mindset.
See, brother Mahal, see, I was raised up with this shit here.
Mm-hmm.
My mama was a Cherokee. My daddy was a Crow. She come from the five civilized tribes, and daddy came from the uncivilized tribe. See, I hear my mama talking. My mama 99 years old. That's my mama. I heard her talk this shit to my daddy when she got pissed off, telling him that he's uncivilized, and because she's Cherokee, she's the five tribes out of 72 tribes was civilized tribes. That's what the white man said.
Yeah, the white man said that, but the white man had documentation to back himself up, though. And one of the guys is some guy named 1709 Laurelton. And Laurelton was talking to us, who was very coherent, intelligent, educated, and we pointed out who was who with regards to who this so-called white man was over here encountering. Because this white man didn't know who to talk to. He, except for a few here and there from their studies prior to getting here. Look, another guy, he in the 1700s, all this stuff was going down in the 1700s. They're making it, oh, yeah, we're 200 and something years old. Stop, as we would say, hey, listen, stop the cap. That's BS. Stop that. What we're saying is that somebody like James Adair, his book was finally published in London in 1775. He died in South Carolina. So just prior to that somewhere, his works, and he's saying all these guys who was over here doing this, they came from families with money. One guy, they called his name Lord Viscount. He produced a 23-volume encyclopedia, and it said that when he died, because he took all that he had to put stuff together, he was broke. He died a debtor, and that's considered to be frowned upon from any society that a person comes from, and they're a moneyed society, and this guy has the title Lord, and yeah, this is not some aimless titles that these guys are walking around with. So you have quite a bit. So Laurelton, back to him, in 1709, published a bunch of stuff that had to deal with. And so they knew when they said civilized, they were referring to someone who had laws, structured government, and a whole list of other things that come along with why you would call someone civilized. Someone who's nomadic and just roaming the plains is never considered civilized. They may have a few little culture things here and there, but at the end of the day, how do they conduct business and how do they run their affairs collectively? See, we know that. This is even taught in political science. So when they refer to somebody as a third world country, what are they really saying? Because that's another synonym. It's another synonym for saying they're uncivilized. And then you hear the language that follows behind that when they're discussing people, quote unquote, from the so-called third world country. And those who live even on the African continent, they take offense to it, such as developed countries that have always had people who are educated, like Nigeria, Mali, Ghana, and a host of other countries. They say, hold up, no, we are not wild people. They have to let them know, we're not wild people. We're not nomads. And what we do is well thought up and laid out, and they have a system, whether we agree with it or not, prior to the British and the French and everybody else and the Portuguese jumping on that continent doing what they did, they have a system that they can point to that is indeed old. Here's something that I would mention. In the movie Black Panther, they talked about when you see the trailer and it's got the you know, showing you the highlights of what the movie is supposed to be about, they've got this character set. And Cole, if he's online, he could probably back me up on this. That code, they said what sect in Nigeria it comes from, and it's extremely ancient and very old. And the guy in one of the videos I was watching yesterday was going into, with help of Nigerians, pronouncing what some of that was. And I'm saying you can't call a people like that third world. Not with that kind of information and knowledge. You can never classify them as that because that came from somewhere. Go ahead. Who is that who was just trying to speak?
I say, it's Cole on.
No, Andrew Mahara, check your text message. I was trying to get you to get him on with you.
Oh, hold on. I didn't realize you text me. Okay, Brother Duarte, you talk for a few minutes while I conference Cole in.
Oh, okay. So what we are trying to do is let you see a certain system that we have been indoctrinated in. See, let me explain counterintelligence. Counterintelligence is when a form of military operation to give you counterintelligence, he is not called a soldier, he's called a spy. He works directly for the supreme government, the president, whoever's in charge. Each nation of people have their spies. Some nations of people have double agents as spies. But espionage, spying is where you get your counterintelligence from. This is what we have done in finding out the history that we've been indoctrinated from is different from what is written. Same way in the Bible. If what is written in the Bible ain't what the teaching and theology thinks.
I'm back. Cole said he'll catch us on the next show.
Okay. Well, go ahead on.
So, when you said, what is the name of this country? And it couldn't have been called America, absolutely correct. Because we all know what the so-called map of the United States looked like, based on what they said the name of the states are and all these different things, okay? So we know that. What caught my attention while learning Cherokee back east is what we said the names of all these areas were. We never called this entire what's called the United States today a country. The country and its borders were set by the names of the tribes. So when you say to a Cherokee, where is Echota? Then they would start naming, well, we are neighbors to tribes that have these names, to the north, to the east, to the south, and if there's somebody to the west of us, which they were.
Now
you
say,
okay, so who's the dominating tribe? They say, well, we are. The Cherokees, we're the dominating tribe, but we have the Pawnee, we have the Catawbas, we have the Creeks, we have the Chickasaws, and we would rip off a list of who is considered blood-related to us within the confounds of what we say in Cherokee, Echota, Echota land. Go ahead, bro.
The 39 of the states is the people that lived here, the tribes that lived here.
Mm-hmm.
If you Utah is where the Utes lived. See,
right.
Texas is where Tejas stayed, where the Plain, the Comanche lived here. Each tribe had their territory. And we call this Atara, which is earth, but you couldn't play on earth.
Right.
Like the white boy came in and bought earth for costume jewelry from the people. Our belief was that you could sell earth.
Exactly, because first of all, we didn't own it.
That's
it said that we were put here to live in it and to till it and to take care of it. This whole notion about we sold Central Park in New York City for X number of whatever that was, that's a joke. That is a story that is a made-up story. No one in their right mind could conceive of, okay, you can have all of this, just give me these four blankets. No, come on. Where did that come from? So, and again, you have to keep in mind, the child trains included folks with that Mongolian blood, the white Africans, their children's, not adults, the children's. And the areas we were being driven out from, they were being sent in with adults who today we call them their handlers. Those are the ones who indoctrinated them. So these children are standing there, young as they are, looking up from East Coast to West Coast. San Francisco, all of that in the West Coast, we were well-built, laid-out cities. And over time, as you know, they started knocking down our structures to hide the fact of who and what we were relative to it and with relation to that, and the narrative that was given to these children. They said, well, they were speaking a native language. No, they were not. Not these young children. They were speaking whatever language their handlers spoke. And yes, their English was good. You ever wonder in some of these Western movies or cowboy Western, how you have these natives speaking such excellent English when in fact, the most prevailing foreign language in this country was German. And those Germans were black. The Bavarians were black. The Dutch were black. And all of their tongues and dialects are related to each other. You can get away speaking German to some, which is called Deutsch, to someone from Holland who speaks Duitse. It's the same stuff, different, slightly different accent. And then you have the Bavarian and you have the Austrian dialect. Most of those folks originally over here were black. They said it was over 50% of those who traveled here. But those blacks, they today now are calling Negropeans, came from Western Europe. Whatever reason they came here for.
Yep,
and that got covered up. And now you've got American Indians speaking English. Yeah.
You got I want y'all to Google, look up the word Black Dutch. If you think Brother Mahaz is lying to you.
I got a coin posted up on the Facebook, Yisrael's a Nation, not a religion page, showing you the Duchess of Holland, and this coin goes way back, all the way back there. And it's like, what is this black woman doing on this coin? Clearly you can see who and what she is. And I also share this as well, too. you can also Google this these days. My friend back in New York, this is along talking about the knights and who was wearing the knight's armor and stuff like that. The narrative is they show you a pale-skinned person wearing the knight's armor. That's a lie. Let's put that to rest right now. I, at first, was not interested in going to any Scarborough fairs. I was not interested in going down to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City and looking at some knight's armor because of the fact that that's those people's stuff. See, that's due to indoctrination. That's their stuff. That's got nothing to do with us. My friend said, listen, man, meet us on down there at 1 o'clock. Okay, great. So Saturday we go down there. And I'm looking at the knight's armor. I see the crossbows. I see the swords and the shields. I see all that stuff. And he said, you notice anything? So, mind you, his thing is he talks about how people were indoctrinated, right? That's whenever we got together to study, he always talked to his brother older than us. So I'm like, nah, I mean, what am I missing? What am I supposed to see? He said, come here. Get up on the showcase. He said, I want you to look dead center of the breastplate. I looked at set in the breastplate, the first knight's armor I looked at. It was an etching of a black woman with an afro, full breast, the usual lips of how we as people have. And he said, now look at the crossbow. It was made of pure ivory. Same thing. It's etched just like I said. So, okay. He said, let's go to the next showcase. Go slide on over. Slide on over. I look. All of the knights' armor in there had black women, which was not the same etching, but different, like I guess that's their version of pictures back in the day. All of this had that. He said, what is your question, Brother Mahir? I said, and I had to think about it for a second because now this became interesting to me. I said, there's no way in hell. You're going to tell me that somebody's going to tell me ever again that all the knights of Europe were white men married to black women. No. See, that's how I came out of my mouth with that. He was smiling. He thought that was great. He said, now let's go in the bookstore. And I got this book called The Chronicles of the Crusades. That's an excellent book to get. When you look at the jacket of the book, it's a big book. It shows you pink people all over the place. But when you open the book up, that is not what you see. You see all the knights, the visors up, and all throughout different various pictures and stuff like that. Pictures taken of portraits in the book. So they didn't paint this in the book. They took pictures of the portraits. And I'm saying, how did we miss this? He says, indoctrination in this country.
What?
Indoctrination did this. That gave them time to whitewash everything in your mind.
See the capitalists, the crusaders killed all of them out. Those was black knights. And when we were tracing history, I want you to talk on this. When we was tracing history, Cole and I was tracing history. We found out, we asked ourselves, if each immigrant that came over
get a little close to your phone.
I think the most, when we were tracing the history of each, where are each of these immigrants that came over here to our country, where do they land at, each of them? We found out that California is where you find the Sephardic Jew in Cali.
Right.
Who California is named after. All of this here is where you find this Sephardic Jew, of how this Sephardic Jew that came into power of this place called California. And see,
right.
if you trace the history of each one of these places, see, each one of these places, like South Carolina, North Carolina, that so-called Indian tribal people that lived in that area. Is it like Alabama?
Right.
Alabama, those are the tribe of people. Illinois.
That's right.
Such people. See,
let me let you in on a secret about the name Carolina. The first narrative is that was given to us by the Catholic order. It's not. Caroline is a black woman who is a queen from Western Europe. See, I always knew the other narrative that we all talk on first. So, and we found out that it was the Negropeans who established the 13 colonies. Benjamin Franklin, which I have that PDF downloaded, Benjamin Franklin in his own writings is making the case and complaining, which he was working for, one of the black Germans on the East Coast. And he was stating that their numbers, his people's numbers, Benjamin Franklin, the pink guy, his people, he would wish that their numbers would increase by immigration. This is what he was saying. And he was frustrated because the process that he had to go through when he needed to try to get something done, and he was working for a black German. So back then, they really did play the rule. Who speaks for you? You know, back in Europe, they always did that signet ring business, right? So if Ben Franklin showed up speaking as himself, he wasn't going to get nothing done. He needed to come in the authority of one of these black Germans he worked for.
Right. See, you can see all of that history is fine with John Hanson of Moore. He was the first president of the Continental Congress. See, they, you had to know the history
right.
of the Continental Congress first. And see,
now, look at the portraits they gave us, Brother Dwadia. Alexander Hamilton. Everybody except Jefferson, all of those guys are brown guys, every one of them, and their wives were not white.
Dwight Eisenhower.
And they redefined terms today for brunette, mulatto. The terms they have today are not the terms that they were using back then because those terms have legal definitions.
Right.
So a brunette doesn't mean how they give you the imagery today. No, a brunette is still a black woman. Look at Noah Webster, 1828. He's a black man, and his name is German origin. And his son and his son's son. And Daniel Webster is described as black as coal. His complexion, and he was tall. So how is all of these black people mysteriously they were slaves. How is this possible? And the question I asked my sister is my late dad's name was Arthur. His dad's name was Arthur. And all these Arthurs going back. And I asked my sister using the ancestry that she was doing to look at the family tree and all. I asked my sister this question because this name Arthur keeps showing up and dad's been telling us about it. I said, what white slave master owning a plantation, and I used the N-word, would allow a nigger to keep passing the word Arthur all the way down the bloodline? And my sister said, you know what? That's a very good question. I said, because for us, Arthur is a surname. Right, which means we're descended from King Arthur. And I know what the crest looked like. And yes, King Arthur was black. And now they're trying to clean, the whites are trying to clean up history now because they didn't put all this junk and nonsense out there about this guy, about King Arthur. Says, no, he was fair. He was a good guy. And he took care of the business. And the knights respected him. So this is what's going on now, Brother Dwadia. So now when it's all said and done, we're looking at these people that we call synthetic people now, and we're saying, y'all are pathetic. You don't have a history, and the Old Testament was absolutely correct about you guys. You are a people, but you're not from a nation. And to hear that, those words, and have a blow like that come against you, they know, we know. And that's where we are now, because folks everywhere is waking up. I mean, I'm in Texas. You got plenty of black folks with German last names, French last names. It's not because of a white guy who's French. We own them. That's how they ended up with these names. And now, through indoctrination for the past 50, 60 years, we are now believing the reason we have the last names we have because it came from a white man. Not if he's a goddamn barbarian and he's Berber. They don't have names like that. That's not the names they have. But I speak Arabic, so I know. And Berber is a little different than Arabic, but nonetheless, it has Shemitic roots in the language they're using. And I talk to a sister who's in Algeria all the time. She's Berber, okay? And she speaks English very well, French very well, her dialect very well, and Arabic very, very well. And so she sent me a video of some guy who's Algerian. He's a young guy speaking in Arabic, and he's showing you history that they know about the United States. And he's dealing with history from the 1500s up, and he's showing these same flags were also over here. He's showing this guy, this young guy, I think his name is Khaled. He doesn't speak English. He speaks Arabic. And she sent me a video of what's in her country about what they're talking about when it comes to history about us and what's over here. That's why she always kept saying to me, we're the same people. She used to always tell me that. And there you have it. Excuse me. Well, Brother Dawadia, I guess the show has ended.